Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mullinger Meets Canadians is brought to you by Nova Scotia Business Incorporated. Hello, I'm stand-up comedian James Mullinger and the co-founder of Edit Magazine. This is Mullinger Meets Canadians, the podcast where we meet Canadians who are making waves on the world stage. In this episode, I'm speaking with Doug Jones, the founder and CEO of Ignite Labs. I've been a huge admirer of Doug's for some time due to our shared belief that anything is possible in the small towns and cities of Atlantic Canada. Doug is an innovator, an inventor, and an entrepreneur with over 20 years' experience in product design and business development, working with global sports companies such as Wilson, Louisville Slugger, Rawlings, Toronto Blue Jays, Phil Simms Quarterback Camps, Pro Performance Sports, and many more. But it was in 2018 that Doug founded Ignite Labs in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia, and he has been leading the organization to develop a startup and innovation ecosystem in rural Nova Scotia. In short, Ignite helps rural communities innovate by providing access to technology, resources, and mentorship for startups. Open to any industry or sector, Ignite helps make ideas become a reality. And Doug is currently helping the growth of over 30 companies in these regions, including a film production company, an independent game studio, a sports brand, catering firm, and even my favourite, a British boutique. Doug is a mentor to many and is the king of celebrating, highlighting, and supporting rural entrepreneurship and then promoting it globally. In other words, we have a lot in common and a lot to talk about. So let's do it. Doug, it is so lovely to finally meet you, my friend.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, well, I mean, I've so many questions because you are one of the few people who, like myself, has espoused the view for many years that in a rural location, you can offer services as world-class as any of the big cities. So can you tell me a bit about the creation of Ignite Labs and how it all came about?
Sure. Basically, where it started from was I was an entrepreneur in the rural place, and I was doing some pretty interesting things on a global level, especially around the sports marketing and sports product development space. And some friends of mine in government started asking me questions on how I was able to do this from a rural place without a lot of resource. And really, the conversation went to a place where they asked me if I could show other people how to do this. And we had many discussions, of course. And I said, you know, really a good opportunity is to set up a innovation hub in these rural places that provides the entrepreneur with the resources that I would have liked to have as a 23 or 24 year old entrepreneur.
Right.
And we started building it out from there and really built out access to resources and mentorship and programming and things like this that help support the entrepreneur through the startup phase. And really, I kind of went on a shopping spree where I purchased a lot of equipment. And I mentioned earlier about, you know, I'm recording in our full professional sound studio in Yarmouth. And those are the types of things that just weren't available to me as an entrepreneur. And I kind of wanted to see what would happen if I provided them to entrepreneurs in these rural places. And that's kind of how it started. So
amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, as you say, I mean, all of those little details make so much difference, you know, for a young entrepreneur starting in a new business anywhere, you know, just having the access to be able to, as you say, be able to conduct an interview with a publication or a podcast globally and for it to actually sound
professional and sound clear is, right. is everything. But also, I mean, what I love so much is that it's such a Maritimes thing that you were there as a sports designer, being very successful with your business. As you say, you were dealing with people globally. You had huge deals with California based companies, but then you were kind of approached about this thing, and yet you chose to kind of focus on helping others. That is such a Maritimes thing to do. Was there a moment though where you thought, I don't want to share my secrets?
No, I was lucky through my entrepreneurship career. I was able to learn from other mentors, and there were people along the way, and I don't even know if they realized the handout they gave me to start my business. But I've always believed that you have to help others, and by doing that, it helps build a stronger ecosystem and a stronger network of people. It's not always, I like to give other people access to my knowledge and my resources and stuff, but it's also self-serving in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I'm still building my companies. Yeah. I'm still running my sports companies. I've launched a new company recently with a couple of partners of mine, and I still get excited about starting business, and I get excited about watching a young guy or a girl start a business.
Yeah.
It's super exciting, and it's super stressful, and there's a lot of fear and anxiety associated. But if I can help somebody else through that process and really surround them with a blanket of resources, I think it's going to lead to something really special in Nova Scotia and throughout Atlantic Canada.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you are a shining example. Like, growth and huge success doesn't have to be competitive and can be collaborative. And as you say, as things build up within the region locally, but also provincially, and indeed, as you say, across Atlantic Canada, that can only be a good thing for everyone. What are some examples of that kind of growth that you've seen where someone that you might have assisted has now become a close collaborator or such like?
Well, I think any company that has come through here, I look to create collisions. I look to create collisions between entrepreneurs and organizations, and that's always been the basis for what I do. But even with our founder group and companies that have kind of gone through our system and graduated, they come back and they help to mentor other entrepreneurs and really be involved. Even one of our recent a company that was based here, Pinkaloo, got acquired a few weeks ago. Well, Mark, one of the guys from the company, is coming back to help choose our next cohort of new companies. So I want them involved because they're part of the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. They're part of the rural innovation network, I guess. And I guess the other part is, you talked about Atlantic Canada. Mm-hmm. We've built a network of organizations that collaborate together. We work closely with organizations like Planet Hatch and Volta and Startup Zone and PEI and groups like this, that we kind of share resources and access each, because we realized early that we can't be everything.
Right.
We're not experts on everything. I like to tell people I'm an expert on very little, actually, but I'm good at finding talent.
Right.
I'm good at finding resources. So our network across Atlantic Canada has been a major contributor to our growth and our success. So connecting those entrepreneurs as part of it is vital.
Amazing. What's so exciting about it is that, I mean, with everything that's happened in the world in the last year, people are now starting to kind of recognize kind of globally the importance of rural communities, the ways in which you can do business in places globally, and you don't need to be in a bigger city. But you were there ahead of the curve saying this well before it became kind of fashionable to do so. And I think that's one of the things that I found so fascinating when I first read about your story and about Ignite, was that when people asked me where are my favorite places to do stand-up, the two favorite places I always said were Yarmouth and New Glasgow. So when when I saw that those were your two main, I was like, I need to meet this guy. You're essentially doing for, you know, doing for entrepreneurship and tech and all of these industries, what I have tried to do for comedy in those places. So it's right. How does it feel though to have been at head of the curve, and how does it feel now that everyone else is catching on?
Well, yeah, and I don't even know if I'm ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. I'm just paying attention.
Right.
I think innovation always happened in these rural places. Mm-hmm. Like we're Yarmouth, as an example, is a heavy seafood sector area. So there was always innovation taking places in there, like as far back as you want to research. Right. People were innovating because it was a matter of survival.
Right.
They needed to catch more fish. So they developed new ways to do it, or they needed to get to the fishing grounds faster. So they developed technology. You know, people don't realize, like, there's a guy who originated from Yarmouth named John Patch. Mm. And John died penniless, but he was the inventor of the screw propeller. Wow. The very first screw propeller to propel boats. And the very first sailing with a screw propeller was from this region to St. John, New Brunswick.
Wow.
Which was fascinating to me. And that was a long time ago. But imagine the world without a screw propeller. You know, the way we move around, the way we fish. So those types of innovation take place all the time in these rural places. But we haven't done a good job of celebrating that. Right. And really creating circumstances for economic benefit because of those inventions. You know, John Patch didn't know much about patenting, mm-hmm. and he didn't know much about business. Mm-hmm. So he just wanted to go catch more fish, right. and which is great. Yeah. But, you know, so we want to continue with that slant. And the other thing, I guess, is I'm a member of, I guess, an expert entrepreneurship group with this organization called OECD. It's a worldwide entrepreneurship policy group, mm-hmm. and they're based in rural locations. So I'm actually communicating with rural entrepreneurs from around the world in places like Scotland and New Zealand and Japan and Germany and places. And I'm learning from what's happening on the ground in those communities too. And we're not that dissimilar, right. from these other rural places. We're all very much the same. We speak different languages and we have different industry. But through COVID, they've experienced the same difficulties that we've had. And they've also learned that there's bigger opportunities out there. If you digitize a community and if you embrace technology, your market is actually a lot bigger than it was a year ago.
Wow.
And that's the type of thing that we're starting to put in place, is how do you transform these rural communities to embrace that technology wave? And it's really interesting. Yeah. Through COVID.
And how do you do that? What are the steps that you're taking, and indeed that other like-minded people are taking to do so?
Well, what we're doing, we actually just launched a project. It's a partnership with a group called Global Skills Hub and Global Villages. And what it is we've actually recognized that a lot of people want to move to Canada from around the world. And we have certain gaps in our rural communities around technology. So we started a program where we're bringing 6 senior software engineers from around the world, and they're immigrating to Yarmouth.
Wow, amazing.
And one of the things we want to see is what the possibilities are by introducing this talent that didn't exist in these rural places and what can come of it. And we've already started to see spin-offs. So we've got, and we're just going through the immigration, like Yusuf Khatib, the CEO of the company, is here now. He moved here from Romania. We've got a young guy from France. We've got a guy from Dubai, a guy from India, a couple of guys from Nigeria, all moving here.
Amazing.
With senior software talent. So that solves 2 things for us. We've always talked about the need for more immigration. So check. Yeah. And then the other thing is the tech gap. So we're doing an e-commerce rollout for the region, concentrating on the local market, but really empowering small enterprise who don't have a digital footprint to get on this platform and showcase their products and sell their products online without having the burden of developing their own e-commerce. Or they might only have one product they're selling. Yeah. And their market is local. So we're building that out, and already we're starting to see these guys moving to the area have ideas for new startups.
Right.
And they're working with our companies to help empower some of their projects with really high-end tech talent. So we hope to expand that project further, but that's really the first of its kind in Canada where we were tying immigration to technology. And we're pretty excited about it. It's early stage, but talk to me in 6 months and I'll let you know how it went.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's great.
But yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, that is incredibly exciting. It's exciting on a national and global scale anyway. It's an incredible story. I know Yusuf and all these people that have come here. Again, I mean, for someone with his experience and background to come, not only is he ultimately going to be providing jobs for people, he's going to be, of course, educating people that are looking to do similar things. Mm. I mean, the knock-on effects are incredible. I'm sure also they're all enjoying the amazing quality of life that Yarmouth has to offer as well. There's so many incredible facets to this. But a thing that you touched upon earlier was the idea of, you know, of how we kind of tell our stories and all the rest of it. And it's, of course, been a wonderful Maritimes trait of modesty and humbleness. But sometimes we have to shout and tell our story and do so. How do we get the message out there that these incredible things are happening, other than obviously on this podcast, which is why this podcast exists, to tell these stories? But how do we get it out there while also maintaining our Maritimes trait of modesty?
Yeah, it's challenging. I think we all have responsibility for it. I think we have to, and I'm as guilty as any. Mm-hmm. Like up until just recently, very few people knew about my background.
Right.
And they knew me as starting Ignite and growing that, but they didn't know my entrepreneurial background. So I didn't do a good job of that either. But I also, sometimes you need platforms.
Yes.
You need things like this podcast to talk about those things. And I encourage, you know, it's one thing to have a website and to put stuff on your social media, but you have to build your network and you have to build relationships outside of the towns we live in. Mm. And I think that helps amplify the message, because the Atlantic provinces, I see so many really good startup companies, but they're not necessarily companies that are attracting venture capital money and things like this. They're new startups, but they're very interesting. And I like those small startups because they're hungry. They want to build a life for themselves in these communities. They're not necessarily chasing a big exit. And that's not a bad thing. Like I'm not criticizing companies that are built to exit. But what I try to do is help build companies that are going to be, they're going to employ 5 to 10 people in a rural place, right, and they're going to be around for the next 100 years. You know, we want longevity and economic prosperity. When a company exits, that prosperity oftentimes leaves.
Right.
And so a number of our companies, although they're developing really cool technologies and innovation, they're built to last and they're built to stay here. And I like that aspect. That's what makes our communities vibrant, is to have this little hub of activity happening. So,
absolutely. As you say, I mean, and lots of small businesses makes for such a more inclusive and positive place for people to live, because A, it means more companies, B, it means there's more choices for people, both in terms of employment and their kind of day-to-day living. I mean, I think for my part, I mean, when I first started reading about what you do, it really highlighted the importance of kind of long-form journalism, because everything that I'd kind of read about Ignite was, of course, people are always very excited about it, but every article would be, you know, a 200-word newspaper piece where they just want to get the bare bones of the facts out, but not really talk about the scale of it. And for me, I mean, as soon as I started digging, and again, I mean, your website is fantastic and it's designed beautifully. But once you get in there and you see that it isn't just one particular field that you're helping, you know, it's everything from, you know, your gaming company, film company, as you say, lobster trap company, chocolate, athletic clothing, and of course, my favorite, the British boutique, bringing all of the British products that newcomers, immigrants like myself have been missing. The cream tea, which no one was doing in anywhere in Canada, is so it's all of those things. Is there kind of a strategy for kind of getting that message out there further, that there is such a wealth of and a wide variety of businesses that you're helping?
Yeah, it because we're kind of industry agnostic. We don't have we're not tech focused. We're not anything really. We're just welcoming.
Yeah.
I think that provides a unique opportunity, but also a unique problem for us, is that when we share all this, it's all from different sectors.
Right.
And sometimes it's hard for people to, because I hear people when I'm in the room describe me as a tech hub.
Right.
And I don't necessarily, that's not how I describe myself. Really what I envision us as is a hub for entrepreneurs and innovation, but it can be anything. So I think we have a unique challenge simply because we've built Ignite on four pillars of belief, I guess, that we're working with startups, like I said, running accelerators, giving them resources, all that. But then we also work with existing industry and we do industry challenges. So we work a lot with the seafood and ocean sector, and we have partnerships with Cove in Dartmouth, who are a global leader in ocean tech. We're working with the Pier Project in the Port of Halifax and around marine transportation and infrastructure and logistics. And so we're involved in different things, and we're even involved. We've been known as the garbage collectors, because what we're working on a lot of things to do with waste. And it sounds funny, but we waste an incredible amount of product in Canada in general. But when you look at our seafood and agricultural sectors, there's a huge amount of waste that's created from those sectors. And what we're trying to do is create circumstances for that waste to be commercialized into higher value products. So we're doing things, working with the Icelandic supercluster and the Norwegians around what they've done to commercialize that product. And we're trying to bring that to our industry and support things like automation and innovation and technology adoption inside of our traditional industries. And that's what makes us a little different from an industry innovation standpoint. So we do that, and then we work with youth around entrepreneurship and STEM. You know, we've collaborated with partner organizations to offer the Young Women in Ocean Tech initiative, where young girls from across the province are all learning from ocean experts, female leaders in different aspects of the ocean tech industry. And we've been doing that throughout the winter and now into the spring. And we need to create opportunities for our youth to identify with career paths that make sense. Right. And for our region. So we're also collaborating with Nova Scotia Innovation Hub to do careers in sustainability initiative around some of those waste streams, our plastics, our forestry industry, our renewable resources. So those are the things I get excited about, because those are big businesses.
Yeah.
And we're just trying to convene and create collisions again, that really good things will spin out of this. And we have to look at those sectors with a new viewpoint and see if we can do things better. That's the problem with our marketing and our messaging, is we're doing so many different things. It makes it difficult sometimes to say what we are. We're a complicated thing.
Yeah, we're a complicated thing. That should be the headline of all articles. Yeah. And as you say, I mean, I think that's the tricky thing, is that people are always trying to either pigeonhole or make a story simple. But, you know, again, that's why the importance of long-form journalism. And again, everything you've just said is so fascinating and inspiring, because essentially, you know, you're talking about big business for the region, big business nationally, but also saving the world at the same time. And what an important message to send to young people, that we are saying, come and live and, you know, don't think you have to go to a bigger city to be successful. When this, you know, intelligent thinking that British prime ministers and American presidents and they can't even get their head around this stuff, and yet it's happening in a smaller place.
Yeah. Actually, I've been all morning this morning, because we have in Nova Scotia, we have these MIT REAP teams. We're doing training with the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and we've been talking about this, talking about the models in Silicon Valley and stuff like this. And really, those models are broken, right? Because even when you look at organizations like Shopify, well, Shopify now has a distributed workforce they're living in our rural communities. Right. Like they're no longer sitting in a big campus in downtown Ottawa or downtown San Francisco or wherever. It's different. Yeah. We can actually build big business from these rural places. And I think we can do it a lot more efficiently, because with infrastructure projects like the one developed Nova Scotia is doing in Nova Scotia with the rural internet broadband rollout, that simple piece of the puzzle empowers a lot of businesses to reach a global audience. Right. If we have really solid infrastructure, we can do pretty much anything from here. And I guess I was proof of that in developing my sports products and working with Wilson and Louisville Slugger and companies like that, that, you know, I was doing that from a little old Yarmouth. And when people find that out, like if I tell people in Chicago I live in Yarmouth, I might as well be telling them I live on the moon, because they can't quite. Yarmouth, is that by Toronto? Is their first question. But once you establish relationships with those companies, really the sky's the limit. And it comes down to thinking outside of our front yard. This is kind of how I put it. You got to think, what do people want on a global scale, and what can I provide to that market, and work from there. It's worked for me, but I had a passion for sports, and to build that business, I was looking at how people trained, and I was learning from that. I think I try to instill that in entrepreneurs and industry here. You know your customer and understand what it is that they need, rather than what you need to sell to them.
That's incredibly smart. And I mean, that must have been, you know, was there a moment that you kind of realized that, you know, you obviously knew that that was what you wanted to do, that was where your expertise lay, but more importantly, your passion. But when did you realize that you weren't going to let geography affects that, or indeed you weren't going to let the stereotypical idea of, oh, I need to go to Toronto or Montreal or to New York to do this thing? When did you realize that you were going to do it in Yarmouth, and when did you realize that it was going to be hugely successful?
I think I was always, I always had a vision that I wasn't restricted geographically where I was. There was times that I recognized that, you know, in my own business, because I was doing a lot of different marketing projects and stuff with different organizations, but I always had fun with the sports related ones, and I didn't have fun with any of the others. And so I said, I woke up one day and I said, I'm not doing those other things anymore. I'm just going to do sports. And when I did that and started working with athletes and working with pro sports teams and things like this, I started to recognize that I was also bringing a lot to the table to that market. Even though I wasn't a pro athlete or anything like that, I did have a unique perspective on what it takes to develop a product or develop a package around this sport. So when I did that, that's when everything kind of clicked. And it's weird how it sometimes happens when you follow that passion or that thing that really interests you, is you end up colliding with people that take you a step further. And I was in situations where I was working with the Toronto Blue Jays and working with some of the players from the World Series teams and stuff. And I was fortunate because I started to learn from them, and they started to introduce me to other people. And I ended up being in a circumstance where I was at the Super Bowl in Miami and started getting connected to some major companies. And I was just in the right place at the right time. And I guess it was a mixture of events that brought me there, but that really propelled my company and propelled my relationships with whether it's Easton or Rawlings or Nike or whatever company. But if I always look for passion in entrepreneurs, are they doing the thing that gets them excited? Because I still get excited about sports products and making something new. And it's not a money driven thing. It's, and my partners would tell you that, because I get excited about a lot of things, but that's really what happened to me, was I created a circumstance for connection. Right. And when I did that, everything kind of snowballed from there. And I guess that led me to Ignite as well. And starting this. So passion first is the rule, and everything else falls in place.
This show is brought to you by Nova Scotia Business Incorporated. NSBI works towards a strong, thriving, and globally competitive Nova Scotia through attracting worldwide investment to create new jobs across the province and working with companies in all communities to be more successful exporters. Visit NovaScotiaBusiness.com to learn more about doing business in Nova Scotia.
Absolutely. I mean, that's totally the key to all success, and especially when it comes to entrepreneurship and longevity. I mean, it's funny, there's an example I often use to people about when I first left London and moved to, you know, a small town outside of St. John here in New Brunswick, and told people that I was a comedian, and people were like, oh, well you can't do that here. That doesn't exist. There's nothing to laugh about here in New Brunswick. You've got to go out west if you want to, you know. You've got to go jobs and jokes out west. Yeah. You can't do that here. And it's, I always thought that was a strange thing to say, because you wouldn't say to a plumber, there's no plumbers in this town, so don't go there. You know, if there's no plumbers, then there's a opportunity to be made. And I find that one of the benefits of smaller places is that they're, because there isn't this well-worn path for certain businesses or ideas, you can carve out your own. And in many ways, it gives you a lot more freedom, and also creates a far more kind of organic and real growth, whereby, because I wasn't arriving in a place and signing with the biggest agent in New Brunswick. No. What I did was, I did what a plumber would do. I went out and I did gigs, and people liked them, and if they well, if they liked them, they would come to more, and if they didn't, they wouldn't. And it's organic and real. I mean, I often joke, but I'm the toilet unblocker of comedy. That's how I like to see myself, because you know, there's a lot of toilet seat unblocking if there's no plumbers in a town. I think they're kind of, you know, not only are you the living embodiment of this, you've kind of created this incredible kind of, you know, almost Pied Piper situation where people are following it because they've seen you do it. And of course, through Ignite, you've created an environment where everyone can see it. But more importantly, there are the tools there for them to follow through with it.
Well, I think too, it's being entrepreneur led. I'm not telling them a recipe. What I'm doing is I'm saying, don't do this because it really screwed me up. and it's fascinating to me that you, as a comedian, you relocated, because that's a, you know, you don't see a lot of comedians in these rural places, but they're actually, some of the funniest things happen in rural places.
Right. Absolutely. It's so, a gold mine. It's an absolute gold mine for comedy.
You see the most unique people and the most unique circumstances. And so I think from a comedy standpoint, it'd be huge. It's just, you know, you're probably seen as an anomaly, because people... I'm fascinated by comedy, but growing up, I said, you know, it wasn't a career path. Like right. you have to really, it's the same thing. It's a passion thing. You need to want to get up on stage and say something funny and make people laugh, but it's not that much different than what I'm trying to do.
Absolutely.
I'm getting on stage and trying to help people become entrepreneurs and do things a little differently and maybe better in some ways, but sometimes I can make them laugh, but maybe not in the same way as you. So,
well, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, people often ask me what are the most, you know, you often get asked in interviews, what's the most memorable gig? And I have to say, I mean, the Yark Playhouse is one of my favorite venues, not least because it led to, there were certain things which only happen in the Maritimes. And right. one show I had, in fact, the first time I performed there, someone shouted out about the venue, the Red Knight, and I just kept repeating, well, what is this Red Knight? And everyone was falling about laughing, and I was thinking, and I've not even, this isn't a joke that I've written, I'm just repeating something they've said, and I've never seen an audience laugh harder, which actually kind of hurt a bit, because I'm thinking, I've come up here with 90 minutes of honed, prepared material over two decades in the business. But anyway, of course, what this ultimately led to was the entire audience and myself going to the Red Knight for a drink.
Oh, man.
That wouldn't happen anywhere else in the world, would it?
No. And I think that, you know, you hit on it is that every community has that welcomeness to it. I was talking to Yusuf's wife a couple of days ago. They stopped by my place for a bonfire on the lake, and we were talking to her, and she's from Romania, and she says, I can't believe how many people are so nice here, and they talk to me when they see me on the street. And in a lot of places, we take that for granted, but in a lot of places, you don't see that. Right. Like in downtown Chicago, you really don't want to talk to people on the street.
if anyone comes and talks to you, then they're insane. That's
Well, that's the first instinct. They're insane or they're going to mug you or do something. So, you know, there's a whole fear thing. But in these places, and I feel the same way in New Glasgow and Pictou and places like this, that the people make the community.
Yeah.
And yes, we have a unique mix of people. We have a unique mix of culture. Yarmouth's unique just simply because it's a mixture of Acadian and English, and it's such a cool place to build a business, because I think a lot of people, you get two things. You get a lot of people who really want to see you succeed, and then you do get a section that doesn't want you to succeed. They're hoping for failure, but that's okay too, because it actually, in my circumstances, that drives me a little bit when people say, yeah, you can't launch a sports product from Yarmouth.
Right.
And I've heard that a lot. And so I went and did it, and I did it again, and I did it again. And now I have a whole bunch of products. But part of it is you have to have a little bit of a chip on your shoulder, and you have to be willing to put the work in, just like you're saying with comedy. You have to get up on stage and see what works.
Totally. And
it's not going to work out of the gates.
No. And as you say, you have to love it, because, you know, you're not going to, I mean, again, comedy, as with any business, you know, you're going to be essentially working for free for 5 or 10 years. So you've got to really love the thing to be willing to get booed off stage every day for 5 years running.
Yeah.
And as you say, it's all about embracing a sense of place, but also loving what you do. And it's funny you mentioned Pictou. Like my last tour show before the world ended last March was actually at Glasgow Square Theatre. And then first one back in September when the bubble opened was at the DeCoste Centre. And that community is very unique. I mean, it isn't not just because of the amazing pizzas, but it's one of the few places you can go.
Yeah.
And I really, because again, I feel like I feel more pressure doing a show in a place like that than I do doing a show in downtown Toronto, possibly because I feel like, as now a member of the Maritimes community, I feel like everyone is now a neighbor and we're probably related in some way, even if we haven't discovered it yet. But I really make an effort to do my research. So if I go and do a show in Pictou or Yarmouth, 90% of the show will be stuff that I've learned and studied about the place rather than just trotting out the same thing. But again, that's the kind of thing that you learn when you're doing business, whether it be creative or tech or anything, is that you do have to be innovative in that way. And as you say, when people said to me, you cannot be a comedian in New Brunswick, or you cannot start a print magazine in your house in New Brunswick and sell it nationally. And again, not that I'm combative, but I kind of think, well, I would like to prove you wrong.
And it's interesting because I feel the same way about crowds. Like I feel I could stand up in downtown Los Angeles and speak to 1,000 people. No problem. But here, if I speak in front of 10 people, there's a lot more pressure on you just because they know you.
That's it.
And sometimes they don't know everything about you, but they feel that you're their neighbor. And so sometimes it takes people a long time to understand it's more than just the person you think you know. There's something in behind. Like to walk up to you on the street, they're not necessarily going to know that you're a comedian. You know, but – and that's where – I think there's some unique opportunities. Like I'd like to see some looks on people's faces as you meet them and say, I'm a comedian.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's funny. The same look I said when I first moved to, I've been telling people for years, they've got to change the dialogue on how they welcome newcomers. Because when I would say to someone, I just moved here from London, the first thing they would say is they wouldn't say welcome or greetings or welcome to the Maritimes. They would say, why the hell did you move here? And I'm thinking, this is not helpful. Making newcomers feel like idiots. And I'm like, why are you saying this? Look around. Yeah. You've got beautiful views, friendly people. And where I am, thanks to annual flooding, waterfront mansions that cost 79 cents. It's a dream. Yeah.
You just have to be able to swim.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. But as you say, it's changing that dialogue. I mean, you must have, and your love for where you live and are based and where you thrive is apparent, but you must be seeing it in a whole different way now, hearing from Yusuf and his family and their love for the place. Like, what are the things that you're now seeing through their eyes that makes you appreciate it even more?
Well, I think part of it is the people, but they also started talking about the landscape because we have a unique landscape, of course, and people often joke that we're at the end of the world here because we're at the very southernmost tip. But when I look at it, you know, we've got everything from beaches to forests to you name it. The outdoors is huge here. And sometimes we... living here, take that for granted. And like I've just recently migrated to my cottage in a place called Clare. And it's a beautiful place. I got great friends there. And I happen to live on a lake. But I also, in my backyard, I have another lake. Right. Well, where else in the world could I live on two lakes at the same time? And, just the natural beauty that we have here. And I think we have a lot of business. Like we have a lot of business happening in this region. We have a lot of business happening in the northern region. And it sometimes gets overlooked when there's still that rural-urban divide in a lot of ways where we think that all the income generation comes out of metropolitan areas.
Yeah.
And really, Yarmouth is a good example that, you know, we look at our lobster industry. Lobster and crab generates $1.2 billion in exports a year, by far the largest single export. And half of that is caught in Yarmouth County.
Wow. Yeah.
Yarmouth and Shelburne County. So we actually have a huge impact in these rural communities. I feel the same way about the innovation that's happening in northern Nova Scotia and the stuff in manufacturing. And you look at these companies that are doing stuff on a global scale that are very quiet. You don't hear about them, but they are there. And they're generating wealth in Nova Scotia. And you see the same things in New Brunswick, you know.
Yeah,
you look at companies like McCain's, who still head office in Florenceville.
Yeah.
Well, Florenceville is not a very big place.
No.
And very, very agricultural. But
that's it. But they're attracting people from all over the world to work there, right?
That's right. And Sobeys is another great example in Stellarton. And, you know, they're such a community-driven organization and fortunate that they're working with us at Ignite. They're a fantastic organization. So we have those companies. And I think that there's examples of that throughout the Maritimes. And we're driving economies from rural places a lot of times. And we don't want to downplay that. We want to actually say we can grow more.
Yeah.
We can do more. So hopefully that's what's going to happen over the next little while. But COVID is actually a blessing in disguise, I feel, for rural places, because we now have such an influx of people moving to our region because it's safe. We haven't had a case of COVID in Yarmouth. So just that fact alone, we're seeing people moving here, working from here. I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. The only problem is our housing prices are going through the roof, and and there's no place to live for these people coming in. So,
yeah, I mean, that's an important question. Like, where do we get the balance right between, you know, 5-10 years ago, we had the problem of not enough people staying in or moving to rural areas and smaller towns and cities in Atlantic Canada. But now that we are kind of, the rest of the world is cottoning on to what we've got here. And of course, as you say, COVID's created this situation where people are looking to places like ours and saying, wow, this is a great place to live and work. But where is the sweet spot between growth and prosperity and being us becoming overrun with people from Toronto or even worse, people from England?
I don't know where the happy balance is. I think people that are willing to come here and embrace the culture and really be members of the community, I'd love to see more and more immigration that way. I think, you know, the fact is when people move here, you start to see different types of things pop up. You start to see new housing development. You start to see new types of shops and services. You mentioned the English boutique, you know, is a good example. But you start to see restaurants and things like that. So I think diversity is great. I think the need for more of that leads to further innovation. So I'm starting to see a new faux place in town. We've got a new Mexican restaurant, things like that are fabulous little shops that really provide a different flavor. But one of the first things Yusuf asked me when he moved here is, where's the Indian restaurant?
Right.
And I said, you haven't started it yet. So, you know, you're just moving here. Give yourself some time. I said, but
as you say, that's the great thing about everything that's happening. Those things are coming. I mean, what's your kind of wish to see in the area and in the region for a year's time or 5 years time?
Well, I think our hope is that these digitization and technology projects that we're working on, I hope to empower the region to think outside the box a little bit, to take a traditional industry and really change it, to change it for the better. And there's a lot of technology. Our exponential growth rate in Canada in technology, AI, artificial intelligence, that's, you know, all that sort of stuff is just, we need to embrace it now. We don't want to be 5 years down the road saying, oh, maybe we should think about e-commerce we need to be proactive. But that's the idea with this digitization is, can we really change a region?
Right.
Even with a little bit of immigration, a little bit of technology integration, all that, I really think that Yarmouth could be a shining example of what we want to do in New Glasgow next, or in Florenceville, or pick a rural community, because I think we're going to be rural community growth is a real thing. We've been losing population for the last however many years. I think that's changing. It's flip-flopping a little bit where people are moving out of cities that are unlivable at this point, you know, unaffordable. So you can actually have a really good lifestyle here for less money. And And I think you can build really solid businesses here.
Absolutely. And
so that's the vision. Whether that happens or not, we'll see. I just think the team at Ignite here, you know, I've got some great people that are working hard on this, that we're going to continue to do the right things and just, you know, build it. Because we're only 3 years old. So
right. You've done a lot in that time.
Yeah, and I have to keep telling myself that, because I think in terms of my daughter, when she was 3 years old, she could do a lot of things, but it was usually not the prettiest. We're kind of the same. Not everything we do is perfect, but we recognize, don't look for perfection. Look for action. Do something, because something's better than nothing, right? So,
absolutely.
And we got to get out of the hurry up and wait type of mentality. My staff criticized me that I come to them with new projects every day and it's overwhelming. But I said, you know, let's just do them. If we fail, we fail. there's no harm in failure. How many times have you been booed off a stage? You didn't
Hundreds.
Stop. Yeah. So you don't stop because of that. You just improve.
Absolutely.
Right. So that's the mentality, I guess.
Wow. Well, it's beautiful. Yeah. And hats off to you for everything you're doing. And I love the fact that we're seeing this kind of innovation everywhere. I mean, again, even in Clare, where your cottage is, I mean, again, just down the road from you, we had David Saulnier at JD Composites create the water
plastic
bottle house.
The
plastic, which... I mean, it's such an incredible thing. And again, I mean, in the years that I've been living here, I've been pitching to all the newspapers and magazines that I used to write for back home that I wanted to write about the region. No one ever bit. And then suddenly, where that happens, the Sunday Times newspaper, which is one of the biggest newspapers in the UK, as you know, dispatched me straight there. They're like, get to Clare now and interview this guy, David Saulnier. And I'm like,
right,
that's innovation. And getting global recognition, of course.
Yeah. And it's funny. David's a good friend of mine.
We
play guitar every Thursday night, him and I and a few other guys. And Clare is a place, I always joke with people. I said, the reason why I moved to Clare is that when the end of the world hits, I know people that can fix stuff and build stuff and rescue me out of any situation. And it's true. These guys like David and another friend of mine, Jill Terrio, that runs AF Terrio Boatyard guys like that. Like, there's a lot of really cool innovation. Vince Stewart is another good friend of mine who's a mad scientist, always inventing new products. And these are all guys in this community, and they're not doing it. Like, I don't think David set out to build a big plastic house manufacturer. Right. He just saw an opportunity and it was the right fit for him. And he's got a great mindset. It's, and they're very cool, the houses. Yeah. Like,
so cool.
Yeah. And so you see that a lot. And, Clare is one example, but there's most of our rural regions are like that. If you dig deep enough, they're there. They're doing neat things. So
that's it. And again, I mean, what I love so much about all of this is, I've been a big admirer of all that you do from afar for some time. I love the fact that that we are blessed enough to live in a region where we do live in the only place in the world where someone can say, I have a place in Clare. And I thought to myself, I wonder if he knows David Saulnier. And sure enough, your buddy. This is the only place that actually works.
Yeah.
You must know Dave. Yes, I do. We play. And he's told me about those jam nights, so that's very funny.
Oh, that guy can play, I'll tell you.
Oh,
what.
Yeah
mandolin. I've never seen anything like it. He's so good.
Well, in classic maritime fashion, he told me he was just a beginner, so there we go. The modesty continues.
Well, I'm a pre-beginner if he's a beginner, so but super talented for sure. So,
beautiful. Well, I cannot wait to spend a jam session with you. I can't wait to hang out. But
anytime.
Sincerely, thank you so much for your time and insights and for everything you're doing for this region.
No, it's really, I say my pleasure. It's a lot of fun. Nice. I love doing it, and I'm glad people are appreciating it, but yeah, we're doing it for fun. My wife says I can continue to work as long as I'm having fun, so I'm good for a while.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Keep it up, my friend, and we will hang soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The show is brought to you by Nova Scotia Business Incorporated. NSBI works towards a strong, thriving and globally competitive Nova Scotia through attracting worldwide investment to create new jobs across the province and working with companies in all communities to be more successful exporters. Visit NovaScotiaBusiness.com to learn more about doing business in Nova Scotia. To learn more about Doug and the incredible work he's doing at Ignite, go to IgniteAtlantic.com or contact Doug via LinkedIn. Further details can be found on the Edit website, maritimeedit.com, and I will see you next time.
Podstarter.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.